Session number 22927, Wheel 2.
John Carney, Reel 2. Yeah.
You were just trying to think when this bombing of your home in Kew Street happened.
Yeah, but before we actually came back from Gibraltar.
So when
it's such a long time, you know. But
when you were at Formby, did any bombs fall in the Formby area?
No, not in the Formby area, but... and I say, we did most of our training around Southport and Liverpool. And I used to take night runs on the carriers. I had about four carriers. One of the main places we used to go to for a drink in Liverpool for a cup of tea was closed. And I took them all down to where I lived. And my mum got all the neighbours up and they gave us tea and sarnies at 2 o'clock in the morning, that kind of thing. But as I say, after that, you know, we got the, these officers came from the commandos. And from then, as I say, once I passed passed my commando training, I joined number 3 commando.
How did you get on with the commando training? Was it much different
They made me realise how unfit I was, you know. Very, very, very hard, very strenuous, really.
Was that at Achnacarry,
That was Achnacarry.
Anything special happened on the training?
Not really. We should also do landing craft manoeuvres at Loch Islet, another place. But on the landing craft itself, across the lock, you'd have the people who were training us, and they had machine guns on fixed lines. And as you'd paddle your boat or go across in your landing craft, they'd fire just over your heads, not, you know, big, so you could actually hear the stuff going. This is one of the things you learned, the sound of it. And they work it out, if you hear the sound going over your head, you're all right. That's what they told us. So we believed them, you know. But that was one of the things, but I remember, you know. And, the training was so hard, but after a while, it didn't come anything. Because we used to have a big rope slung across the river, and he'd just put another rope on it and he'd slide down over to hit the other side. And the first time we did it, you know, my heart was in my mouth, but we got so used to it that we used to go in when we didn't even have to go and just go for a ride across the river. That's how the spirit of the units that were getting trained, it was so great, you know, because we were taught right from the start that we were different. You're going to be different. You're different than anybody else. I know, funny thing, but we firmly believed that we were different, you know.
And you said then you went into 3 Commando?
Then I joined 3 Commando, and then they give then you got your berry, you see, and I was in 3 Commando. And 3 Commando always believed in... the action we went into, just to wear your green berry. That was and our colonel was Jernford Slater, and that was his feeling. And I don't think I had a steel helmet, so that was never mentioned, never really wore one. So just had the green berry, and you could always put it in your pocket. But and then we were up in Scotland, Largs, a place called Largs. And then the Dieppe raid would come into being. And he came down to Seaford.
Who did?
The Colonel, Lieutenant Slater. Sanford Slater. Sanford?
That's all right. No, carry on.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, him and his second in command was Peter Young, who's a captain then, Peter Young. And they got told by Mountbatten, he was in charge of the combined operations, that they're going to send a force across to Dieppe. And originally it was going to be just a commando, four commando, three commando. It was just going to be a commando raid, but then it suddenly got bigger and bigger, and the Canadians, I think they, his name is Carrera, General Carrera or something like that. I think he was in charge of Canadians, and he said he wanted his men to go. And then they made it different then, and four commando, his job was to go to the right of Dieppe at Varangerville, and we would go to the left of Dieppe or the east of Dieppe, because the cliffs are so steep, and we'd had a lot of training in climbing cliffs at three commando. And once he knew that, he got the whole commando down here. And the commando came down, and we billeted at Seaford, and we came down in July 42, and we used to do all our training around the Isle of Wight, because they reckoned that they only had the small boats, it'd take that distance, so we used to go from New Haven down to the Isle of Wight, do all our landings and climbings and everything around the Isle of Wight, and then we came back to Seaford. And the first time it was, I'm not quite sure, it was postponed, or they didn't want to carry it through because a lot of talk going on. And what they did, they had in New Haven Harbour, they put all on the landing boats, they put big curtains, canvas curtains, over all the boats. And even though the we used to get Jerry reconnaissance planes used to come across all the time, you know. As subsequently we found out after the war that Jerry did not know that the force was there. This is what we were told after the war, and the people got talked together. And then we went up, and the raid was on, and we left New Haven on the 18th of August. I'm not quite sure where the four commander went from, actually.
Don't bother about them, just stick to your own story.
Anyway, we left New Haven Harbour, and we got about halfway across, and the convoy itself, and they're already small American designed landing craft, like you simply left off the side, no landing ramps as such. And we had an old gunboat, which was our headquarters, and that led us across. And we had an escort of a destroyer going around, but the convoy was going so slow, it was only doing about 10 miles an hour, or 10 knots, I think you call it, something like that, 10 miles, about 10 miles an hour. And the destroyer left us, raced down the channel to get his engines, normal quality. When they left, suddenly we got about, it's pitch black, and you know, and we saw these very lights coming up, or signals up in the sky, and we suddenly realised that we weren't the only ones in the channel. And this convoy, it was just one of them bits of bad luck. There's a German, the E-boats were escorting a convoy from Boulogne down the channel. And as soon as they spotted us, that was it. And their first big target was the gunboat. because it's the biggest one, you know. And they absolutely didn't sink it or anything, but they put so much cannon fire and shells into it that our colonel was on the German Slater. He got nicked in the shoulder, and there's a few blokes killed on that gunboat. And by that time, we'd scattered, and our boat had bullet holes in it and everything. And we decided that the chap in charge of our boat, he said, right, we're carrying on, and we still carried on to Dieppe. And the first three of our, in our, call them flotilla, if you like, they managed to get there first, and they were led by Captain Peter Young. And the other, I can't think of the other fellow's name, Smiley, something like that. Anyway, they managed to get at Dieppe, they got to Dieppe before us, and they got to this gully at Bernabelle, and they anchored there and shot up this gully, and the gully was so sewn with old roll of dannet wire that they were able to actually utilise it to climb up. And then they got onto the top of the gully at Bernabelle, and meanwhile, you see, then the main attack was starting to come in, and Peter Young and his section, they got right to the guns itself, and they found that they couldn't get close enough to actually take the gun, because there's only one boat, it's about 20 blokes. So what they did, every time anyone, the gunners, German gunners, tried to get near the guns, our commando, Peter Young, just kept firing at them. So they actually kept them guns silenced. And the only time they fired their gun, they turned the gun round and tried to fire at where the commandos were, but they couldn't get a low enough depression. So the first couple of shells went over their heads, and then they held it for about 2 or 3 hours, and the Jerry just wouldn't stick his head up at all. And meanwhile, the main battle was going on, you see, and we'd arrived off the beach, and we had an anchorage point, and then our colonel, who'd been the hit, he transferred from the gunboat onto one of the landing craft, and then they decided that was it, because by that time the German Luftwaffe was coming in, and where we were you couldn't actually see, but you could hear all the battle going on for Dieppe itself. And we stuck it for a little while, and then we had to disperse.
Did you go ashore?
No. Our boat never got ashore, you know. As I say, it was only Peter Young's section and two boats managed to get ashore. And then we made our own way back to Dieppe, back to New Haven.
How frightening was the raid for you?
It was very frightening because what happened when we made that convoy, it was so unexpected that it caught everyone by surprise. Because actually we were supposed to go there and give them a surprise. But where we were caught then, and there was just nothing we could do.
So you were attacked by an E-boat?
It was a convoy with E-boats. I don't know how many E-boats there was.
Was your own craft attacked by an E-boat?
Yeah, the whole convoy was attacked. And we had to scatter. And
did your craft fire back at the E-boats?
Oh, everyone was firing at them. Everyone who could, you know, but because we had Vickers K guns mounted. And we fired back at them because our firepower wasn't as strong as what theirs was. So and then that's how it culminated.
Which part of 3 Commando were you in at this time? I know they don't have companies, do they? Do they have troops?
Commando was roughly made up of 6 troops. And one of them was a heavy weapons troop. And all the rest were... He had headquarters, headquarter troop. And then one... I was in 2 troop, which was a heavy weapons troop. And 1, 3, 4, 5... And 6 were assault troops. And in my troop, we had the Vickers machine guns and the 3-inch mortars. And on operations, we are mainly support troops for anything heavy going in.
What rank did you have at that time?
Sorry?
What rank did you have at that time?
What was that, GF? Because I'd lost my stripes, and my stripes in. I was a Lance Corporal. I'd got 1 stripe back. I'd got 1 stripe back. I was a Lance Corporal then at DF. And then I got my stripes back when we came back from Italy. I was still in charge of the Vickers machine guns, and I was made a sergeant then.
How did you feel once you got back to England after the Dieppe Road?
Very, very relieved. And they sent us on leave straight away. From New Haven, as soon as we landed, they sent us on leave for a fortnight. And we got told to rejoin the commando at Weymouth.
Where did you go on your leave?
I went up to Liverpool. I went to my family. And I think that's the time there's Blitz going on then. Because Liverpool was getting blitzed off and on, all throughout the war, you know. And because in the commandos, you see, we were never in barracks. We were actually billeted on people.
Did you like that system?
Oh, yeah, smashing. It was great, really, because every commando was paid 6 and 8 a day for their subsistence.
Did you make a profit out of that?
No, not really. But then, each troop in the commando, no matter what town you went into, you were in a specific area. And the administration officer, his name was Martin, he dealt with all the billeting and everything. And before the commando actually went to a town, he'd go to all the areas and say, right, this area is going to be allocated to 1 troop. And then he'd go to all the houses and he'd see how many the people could actually put them up. So the average was 2 people per house. But no matter where you were, you're nearly all within your own troop.
What happened to you after the you came back from leave?
Well, as I say, we joined them in Weymouth, and what was one? The people I stayed with, her name was Bowditch, Mrs. Bowditch, and we just did all kinds of training, and we went down to Clovelly, and we did a lot of cliff climbing and everything. Climbing instructor. He was his name is Alan, Jock Allen, and he'd been in one of the big expeditions before the war to Everest. So what he already knew was marvellous. And as I say later, when we went to Gibraltar, he saved a person's life on Gibraltar. And he got a medal for it. He climbed the side of the rock and plucked this person off and saved his life, and he got a medal for it. Sergeant Major Allen, that was. And he was in charge of my troop, 2 troop. And I said, then in Weymouth, we did all training, landing training. We landed on the coast. We landed at Portland. Portland itself was a big artillery base, Portland Bill. And part of our training was to go up, climb the cliffs to Portland Bill, and see how their security was. We used to do all exercises like that. And then, when was it, 40? Beginning of 43, that was it. We got told we were going to go out to the Middle East. The whole commander was going to the Middle East. And the colonel got us all together. And he said, right now, he said, you're going somewhere abroad. He said, you've got a day to say farewell to everybody. Everybody will be at the Weymouth station at midnight tonight. And if anyone is worse for wear, that's it. Out. Because the system was then, if you committed a crime, they just give you RTU, return you to the unit in disgrace, you know. And the whole commando, there's 450 was a commando, see. And there's only one person at the what's the name, he turned up the station drunk. And he just took his green beret off him and that's it. Took him, sent him at the station and he was returned to his unit. But that was the system, see. But you never had any of like these charges or court martials or anything like that, because you always had that hanging over your head. If anything went wrong, they'd just say, that's it. And you'd return to your unit, which is, well, to us, was a big disgrace kind of thing, see. We left Weymouth and went up to by train to Glasgow. Alright.
Which ship did you go into?
On a transport, Letitia. Letitia. The whole commando. Our destination was Gibraltar.
What was the voyage like?
Sorry?
What was the voyage like?
It was very good, really. It was, you know, we had the usual. We were in a big convoy, and you go right out Atlantic that way, you know. But we passed through the Straits of Gibraltar, and went to Iran. Because part of our convoy was going to North Africa. We were in Iran for a day, and we turned back and came back to Gibraltar. And then we were stationed in Gibraltar. And part of, at that time, they were worried about the Spanish authorities doing something peculiar, you know, something to Gibraltar. So we went there, and we had designated places on the Spanish coast where we could land and do various raids and stuff like that. And we stayed in Gibraltar for 6 weeks. And while we were there, we took part in all the sports, like swimming, football, boxing with the remainder of the garrison, and the commando of boxing team was so successful that they became the champions of the Rock in the big trophy what they had. But so we left our mark in Gibraltar, and I was all right because it had been my place before the war, where so I knew exactly what it was like and where to go and what have you, you know. And then from there we went to Algiers, and we stayed at a place, Fort de Loup, Algiers, and we did a lot of training down there, and then they decided to send us to Alexandria. We went by train to a port named Sfax, S-F-A-X, Sfax. And from there we got onto It wasn't a British ship, but it wasn't a very good. It was called the Ben Gunn. That was it. The Ben Gunn. It was the name of the ship, and that took us to Alexandria. And from Alexandria, we went up into a big transit camp. It's called Aikingi, just outside Cairo. And the reason why we'd been sent there was for the invasion of Sicily. And after getting reorganised and all our strength made up properly, we joined the fleet, the invasion fleet for Sicily in Alexandria.
Were you still in two troop?
Yes, oh yeah. So the commando never shifts. You're always in the same troop. Unless you have signal experience or something like that, and they transfer you to headquarters. But I was with two troop, the heavy weapons troop, from start to finish. Anyway, we embarked for Sicily on the 'Princess Emma.' It was a commando ship, a landing ship, but it was originally a cross-channel boat between Harwich and Ostend before the war. And there was the Princess Beatrix and the Princess Emma, and our commander was on the Beatrix, yeah. And then we set sail for Sicily in July. That was July
43.
And our objective was a place called Casabili. And the main by that, in that time we were part of the Eighth Army. And the Eighth Army was landing at Syracuse, and three commando was landing at Casabili to silence these big field batteries, which overlooked Syracuse Harbour. And we went into Casabili, and
what was the landing like?
That was naughty, really, because as we were coming in, the British airborne, they were part of a glider force which was landing beyond Casabili, and our objective was to landing on the beach, silence the batteries, and join up with the glider people, and they were the border regiment. They were the glider people. And as we were coming in towards Sicily, we suddenly heard the sound of heavy aircraft right overhead. And they were American Mitchells towing gliders. And they were so low coming in that you could actually see the silhouettes of the planes and the gliders. And we got about a mile or 2 mile offshore, when suddenly, for no apparent reason, they released us, because a bit of flak had started to come up from the mainland, or from the island, and they released the gliders, and they released them too early, because most of them, nearly made the objective, but one came right over our heads and plunged into the water. And we slowed down with our landing craft, because the landing craft, you see, were all part of the have the boats that the Emma and the Beatrix carried, but they're ordinary landing craft. So we were in our landing craft going in line, not abreast, in line. And we picked up most of the people from these gliders, from one of the gliders, before it actually sank. So we had them on board when we actually hit the shore, which is very, very naughty thing for them, for the old Yanks to do, but there you are.
So your landing craft was packed out?
By that landing craft, they were all rounded. They couldn't do much about it. As luck would have it, we weren't all